Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. In today's broadcast, I'll be shining the spotlight on Pope Benedict XVI's forthcoming pastoral journey to Brazil. Bringing you a report from our correspondent on the ground, Ema McCarthy. An in-depth roundup of events regarding the two legs of this apostolic journey, the more pastoral to Brazil and the more Latin American, given he's going to Brazil precisely to open the major assembly of Latin American bishops. And last but not least, some exclusive sound from our Vatican Radio archives focusing on the four previous general conferences of bishops from Latin America and the Caribbean. Thanks so much for joining me on this very Brazilian journey. I'd like to begin by asking you a question. When you think of Brazil, what comes to mind? Coffee, carnival in Rio, deforestation. Change that question to what comes to mind when you think of the church in Brazil. Surely an overwhelmingly Catholic country where over 43% of the world's Catholics live. That might be a good reply. But as we know, it's also a nation affected by the proselytism of religious sects, a growing influence of postmodern hedonist secularism. A situation in which Pope Benedict is sure to bring encouragement, revitalize, and generate a new sense of mission in society. At any rate, the fact is that we're on the eve of this journey now, so why not take a closer look? As scheduled from some time now, on Wednesday the 9th of May, Pope Benedict leaves the Vatican for Brazil on a pastoral journey, his sixth abroad, which takes him for the first time as Pope to the Western Hemisphere. To be precise, the dates are the 9th of May to the 13th of May. This week, then, he'll be broadening his horizons, I insist, as Pope. Naturally, prior to that, as Joseph Ratzinger, he had already travelled extensively. So how exactly is his journey shaping up? And where exactly is he going? Well, to start with, he'll be staying in the city of Sao Paulo, and then he'll be travelling to the Marian Shrine of Aparecida. During this journey, which has for theme disciples and missionaries of Jesus Christ, so that our people may have life in him. This focus comes as no surprise, typical of this Pope, who has, among other things, only just published a book on the figure of Jesus Christ. But let's travel to Brazil now, to join one of the team of Vatican Radio journalists currently in Brazil, awaiting the Pope's arrival. She's my colleague, Ema McCarthy. Let's listen to her report.
The city of Sao Paulo is in ferment with builders working round the clock ahead of Pope Benedict XVI's arrival on Wednesday. For days, regional newspapers have been counting down the hours to this, the Pope's first apostolic voyage to the Latin American continent, home to half of the world's Catholics. But at the same time, they have also been posing questions regarding the most pressing issues currently facing the Church in Latin America. Brazil, the continent's most populous nation, is often seen as a microcosm for the entire region. 84% of the country's population of 184 million say they are Catholic. Yet the growth in number of evangelical Pentecostal churches and of charismatic movements is a worrying phenomenon for religious leaders. According to the Jornal do Brasil newspaper, the spread of Pentecostalism is associated with rapid urbanization, internal migration, and coupled with the lack of priests on the ground to accompany the pastoral needs of the dispersed community. The paper reports that there are a mere 18,000 priests to cover the entire territory. It claims a further 100,000 are needed to fill this vacuum, a vacuum, it says, the evangelical churches rapidly cover. The results of a survey conducted by Rio de Janeiro's widely read online news agency O Globo, published this week aimed at testing the levels of popular interest in the papal visit, are a stark contrast. It asked readers whether they will leave their homes, schoolrooms or offices to attend the ceremonies with the Pope. The vast majority of the readers, who are under 35 years of age, answered that they will fill the streets to greet the Holy Father. Crowd control was also the subject of an editorial in Sao Paulo's daily O Estado. It estimates that a massive 500,000 people are on the move towards Aparecida, the Marian shrine just north of Sao Paulo. It's the host city to the 5th General Conference of the Bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean, which will be officially opened by Pope Benedict XVI this weekend in the culmination of his pastoral voyage. The paper also carried the Pope's word from his Sunday's Regina Caeli address, his invitation to the nation to join him in prayer for the success of this, his 6th apostolic voyage, his first beyond the boundaries of Europe to the heart of the Latin American Church.
Well, that was Ema McCarthy from Brazil. Ema, who's now finally gone totally Brazilian. She'd already tried hard to gravitate towards that hemisphere over the past weeks by reading up and doing a myriad of interviews in an effort to well prepare a report on this journey for us. And indeed, you know, before she left, I attempted to dip into her acquired knowledge, sitting her down in one of our many self-service studios and asking her very simply to give me some idea as to what it was all about. Ema, first time the Pope goes to the Western Hemisphere.
Yes, it's his first trip outside Europe. The principal theme of this pastoral trip, if you want to call it a pastoral voyage, is, of course, to open the 5th CELAM conference, or CELAM conference. It is, of course, the Congress of Bishops from Latin America and the Caribbean. It's a very important meeting from the point of view of the Church in Latin America. It only happens once every 13 to 14 years, and it draws over 280 delegates or representatives from all of the Latin American countries and, of course, the Caribbean together to talk about the state of the church in their part of the world. There have only been 4 conferences to date, of course. This is the 5th. And a pope has gone to open the last 3 of the conferences. The first, there was no papal presence, but
There was a radio message. Which our listeners are going to be hearing soon.
Yes.
In the programme. So this is the main purpose. He's going to Sao Paulo, I noticed.
Well, of course, yes. Although the CELAM meeting is taking place in Aparecida, which is a very famous, one of the most famous Marian shrines in the whole of Latin America. But Aparecida is in Brazil, and the Pope cannot really go to Brazil without visiting the Brazilian church, the Brazilian people, and indeed Brazil itself. So this trip is really got 2 parts. The main emphasis on the opening of the CELAM or CELAM meeting, but of course it also has a part which is a pastoral visit to Brazil itself. As a result of this, the first 2.5 days of the Pope's stay in Latin America, in Brazil, will be dedicated to pastoral activities within
Brazil.
So he'll
be meeting with young people, I think, no?
He's going to meet with them in a stadium, one of the biggest stadiums in Latin America, in São Paulo itself. He will also, of course, meet with officials from the Brazilian church. What's interesting about this, of course, is that the Brazilian Bishops' Conference at the moment are meeting in Brazil as we speak this week to vote a new president and general secretary and vice secretary of the Brazilian Bishops' Conference. So right now it's without a leadership, and we will find out who these new leaders of the Brazilian church are on the week the Pope arrives.
So in a sense, the first part, as you said, a pastoral aspect of this journey, which is more Brazilian, shall we say.
Yes, it's
And then the second part is more Latin America.
It's very clearly divided. When the Pope arrives in Sao Paulo, he's due to arrive in Sao Paulo on Wednesday, mid-afternoon local time, Wednesday, May 9th. He will be brought to Sao Paulo by a helicopter where he will land, and then he'll be brought by Pope Mobile through the streets to the Sao Bento Monastery, which is a Benedictine monastery. He'll be staying there, but that evening, the only appointment the Pope has is a brief greeting to the people of Sao Paulo from the balcony of the Sao Bento Monastery. Now, what's interesting is this. There's a little square in front of the Sao Bento Monastery, and it can hold up to 12,000 people, a maximum of 12,000 people. What's been happening recently in Sao Paulo, and not only in Sao Paulo, but also in Brazil, is a massive media campaign inviting the Brazilian people to come and meet the Pope. And of course, this has created absolute hysteria within the country and within Sao Paulo itself. And a lot of fear, it's really sparked fear in the hearts of the local authorities, because this little square only holds 12,000 people. There are 20 million people in Sao Paulo. So can you just imagine 20 million people trying to squeeze into that square? But that's the only official appointment the Pope has for his first day in Sao Paulo, in Brazil, in on the Latin American continent. The pastoral appointments to Brazil really get take off the next day itself. The next day is, of course, where he is due to meet with the young people in the stadium on the Thursday evening, which is the highlight of his pastoral visit, I think, to Brazil, to Sao Paulo, because we must remember that over 80% of the Brazil's population is under 35. It's a very, very, very young country.
There's also a canonization taking place, which the Pope's going to preside over.
Yes, it's the first ever Brazilian saint. Most people think, oh my God, Latin America has a history of over 500 years of Catholicism. And Brazil is one of the biggest countries in Latin America. But up until this point, there has been no Brazilian-born saint. Frei Galvão was beatified in 1997 by John Paul II. He was a Franciscan friar who worked very much in and around the rural parts of Brazil for the poor and for the needy. He set up various communities and centres and hospices for them. Now, an exception has been made to the rule here. I think it's quite interesting, really, because if we remember to Pope Benedict XVI's inauguration mass, to his first speeches about his vision of his pontificate, he said that beatifications will take part in the local church, in the national mm-hmm. churches, and be carried out by the national bishops. Canonizations will take part in Rome, and they'll be presided over by either himself or by Cardinal Sir Ivan Martins, who is, of course, the prefect of the Congregation for the Cause of Saints. Here he's made an exception, because the Feast of Frei Galvão takes place on May 11th, and he will be in Brazil, obviously, on May 11th. Mm-hmm. This is the first Brazilian saint, and therefore he's going to preside over the canonization himself. That's going to take place in the Campo de Marte in São Paulo, and more than 1.5 million people are expected to turn up to that canonization mass.
I believe I read somewhere that he'll be speaking to drug addicts too.
Yes, that's not actually taking place in Sao Paulo. That'll take place in the second phase, the second leg of his trip in Aparecida, where he is due to visit a rehabilitation centre for young people. This is a centre that was started up in a small town near Aparecida. It's a rehabilitation centre that was started up by a community there, by a friar, for the young people of Brazil. It holds 2,000 young people to try and help them recover from their past problems with alcohol, with drugs, with prostitution. And this is a community that's grown worldwide. So there are already 2,000 young people in this centre near Aparecida that the Pope will greet and visit. But another 1,000 of them from communities that are all around the world are travelling to Aparecida to meet with the Pope in this centre, working to pay their own tickets to try and meet the Pope. So that's a very important focal point as well.
So anyway, this is the fifth general conference of the bishops of Latin America, which the Pope is going to preside over. Of course, the first one was held in Rio, but the Pope's not going to Rio.
No. It was chosen to be held in Aparecida for its spiritual importance. As I said, Aparecida is just north of São Paulo. It's the most important Marian shrine in the whole of Latin America, and it's one of the biggest Marian shrines in the world, far bigger than, for example, Lourdes, which maybe a lot of our listeners will be familiar with. It can hold up to 35,000 people, and it's visited by over 8 million people a year. And now the story of Aparecida itself is that fishermen fishing in a local river caught a headless statue of the Virgin. And then following this, there were apparitions of the Virgin in the area. But I think it's important for its liturgical and its spiritual heritage, because it has drawn millions and millions year in and year out who come to pray at the Aparecida Shrine. Mm-hmm. There he'll be staying in a monastery called Bom Jesus, which is one of the biggest seminaries and monasteries in Latin America itself. There he will open the fifth general conference of bishops from Latin America and the Caribbean. Now, of course, people are really looking forward to his arrival, but what they're probably waiting for most is his speech to the bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean.
So he's not going to Rio?
No, I'm afraid he's not going
so
to
So you're not
Rio.
Going either?
Unfortunately not. I mm-hmm. thought I'd be able to see Rio myself, but unfortunately not.
Thank That was Emma McCarthy speaking to us of Pope Benedict's apostolic journey to Brazil. But now, if you wish to settle down in your armchairs, I'd like to tell you the story of Selam, or Chelam, from a more personal perspective, with the help of exclusive sound from our Vatican Radio archives. My personal effort to piece together, in a jigsaw puzzle sort of effect, the voices of some of the earlier Roman pontiffs, connected to those first four general conferences of bishops from Latin America and the Caribbean. Sound then to conjure up, to begin with, a picture precisely of that left-out city of Rio de Janeiro we've just spoken about with Ema, where it all started, attempting to bring you in sound that familiar image of the giant statue of Christ that to this day stands reaching out over the city and the bay. Stay tuned. It's the 24th of July, 1955, when from the Vatican's Apostolic Palace, the sound engineers of Vatican Radio are adjusting a microphone which is about to carry the Pope's voice right across the ocean to a faraway land, where a group of Latin American bishops are gathered together for the very first General Conference of the Bishops of Latin America in the city of Rio de Janeiro. Eager to switch on the radio and listen to the words of the Roman pontiff of the time, Pius XII, to mark this solemn occasion.
Amados filius, quantus nu congresso, meditaste sus mysterius de divina Eucharistia, pensai que redentore re eucharistico.
Fired, no doubt, by the imagination of his travelling past as Cardinal Pacelli, he enthusiastically captures the mood of the occasion, passionately bringing into the picture Rio's landmark giant statue.
Il statua do Redentor, de brazos costantemente abertos en cruz.
A description enhanced by a very literary and elegant Portuguese.
Il spettacolo sovra modo grandioso.
Grandioso, grandiose spectacle, Pius XII declaims, highlighting the figure of Christ the Redeemer with arms outstretched over the people who live as if caught in a tempest at sea. Caught in a tempest at sea, something this Pope had experienced firsthand during the years of the Second World War. But now, 10 years on, in these latter years of his pontificate, he turns his attention geographically elsewhere. Speaking in days when popes did not yet travel, to the bishops of the Latin American Episcopal Council, which he himself had founded that same year. An event marked by Pope Benedict 50 years on from 1955. It was in a letter dated 14th of May 2005, addressed to the current president of this body, known as CELAM. Cardinal Francisco Javier Errázuriz Ossa, Archbishop of Chile's capital, Santiago. I've asked Sean Patrick Lovett to read from the English translation of the text for us. Let's listen.
"50 years ago, my venerable predecessor, Pius XII, fulfilling the desire expressed by the General Conference of Latin American Bishops, who met in Rio de Janeiro from the 25th of July to the 4th of August, 1955, instituted the Latin American Episcopal Council, CELAM, with the purpose of sustaining the pastoral work of the bishops and at the same time of responding to some of the serious problems of the Church in Latin America."
Pope Benedict, in fact, quoted, as Sean has just read for us, from the 1955 apostolic letter, Ad Ecclesiam Christi, often described as a sort of Magna Carta of this coordinating body which currently has its seat in Colombia's capital, Bogotá, which according to its statute serves as an organism of contact, reflection, collaboration, and indeed service to the bishop conferences of Latin America, all 22 of them. And following in the footsteps of Pius XII, 50 years earlier, Pope Benedict too inevitably focused on the figure of Christ.
Knowing that Jesus Christ is the center of the Catholic faith, and that the purpose of the new evangelization is contributing to ensure that every person encounters the living Christ, Salem has intensely inspired the work of the Latin American Episcopate, so that it testifies to what it means to be faithful disciples of Christ, and nourishes the proper faith through listening to the Word of God.
Words these that also echo those of the first pope to address a General Assembly of the Latin American Episcopal Council in person.
Saludamos y bendicimos a todos los obispos y ordinarios de América Latina.
He was Pope Paul VI, who this time spoke in Spanish, highlighting fidelity to Christ, nourishing the proper faith through listening to the Word of God. But this time offering not only words of encouragement, but words of warning at a spiritual, social, and pastoral level. Speaking out, among other things, against the words of theologians who, he claimed, had lost their way, and against the trend to secularize Christianity. Words he pronounced in Medellin, Colombia. It was 1968, and as I said a moment ago, he did so no longer over the airwaves, but in person as a pilgrim pope, the first in the history of the papacy, as he himself remarked in the Bermuda Islands in the Caribbean, where he stopped over. They're part of this council's 34 nations. Words in English that regrettably were not recorded. Let's listen to Sean again, reading from the text.
How strange it would have seemed until recently that the successor of Peter would find sufficient a few hours to cross broad continents and mighty seas and visit distant lands whose very existence was unknown to the first pope. Yet such journeys are but the continuation into this century of the apostolic wanderings of the first, who held the high office of representing Christ for people of all continents and races.
Memorable of these all-new journeys are the images picked up by televisions across the world whose mediatic power had begun to surface even when it came to the Roman pontiff. And in Colombia too, they picked up on the more visually significant images, like Paul VI's celebrating the marriage of a young Indios couple, his strongly worded speech to the campesinos, which highlighted his preferential option for the poor.
Seguiremos denunciando las injustas desigualdades económicas entre ricos y pobres.
And was accompanied by volleys of clapping and shouts of Viva el Papa. Long before people actually did that sort of thing in the Pope's presence. Like Pius XII, Paul VI too often used metaphors linked to a tempest at sea. His exact words at the Second General Assembly expressed regret that the people of Latin America should be swept by a tidal wave of anxiety, one overwhelmingly characteristic of our day and age. But Pope Paul also had words of hope. He proffered words of encouragement and hope in the Lord. Like yourselves, we too, he said, may be feeling the all-encompassing effects of this tempest at sea, but as the Gospels teach us, we should not fear. Remember, Pope Paul said, how on a night fraught with perils, Jesus called to his disciples at sea and said, "It is me, do not be afraid." Getting back now to our history of Chelam, the following two general conferences were attended by Pope John Paul II. And these did not take him to Brazil either. For the third, in 1979, he travelled, only 100 days into his pontificate, to Puebla in Mexico, on the very first of his pastoral journeys abroad. And for the fourth, in 1992, he travelled to Santo Domingo, where he also presided over celebrations to mark 500 years of the arrival of Christianity in Latin America, admitting on that occasion that the missionary church's ties to the Spanish conquest produced both light and shadow for the region's indigenous inhabitants. Eventually, however, it has to be said, Pope John Paul did get to visit Brazil during one of his 18 journeys to Latin America, going to Rio, viewing the statue of Christ with its outstretched arms, making his way amid the rubble and squalor of the city slums, where deeply moved in a spontaneous and symbolic gesture, he removed the gold ring that Paul VI had given him when he was created cardinal, handing it to the local priest there as a donation to the parish. No doubt, in his heart, he knew Paul VI would certainly have approved. And in this troubled land where Pope John Paul travelled for 12 days on a 9,000-kilometre journey, he too, as Paul VI had done before him, pleaded for social justice. Social justice, which he called for in so many of his pastoral journeys to Latin America, putting his personal stamp on controversial issues of social justice, liberation theology, and church political involvement. But now, in May 2007, it's Pope Benedict's turn. And while he may not be travelling to view the giant statue of Christ, the Redeemer casting its shadow proudly over the Bay of Bahia, as Pope Pius XII put it,
Bahia do Guadanabara, en fora, e quantos labuten y sofren, nos mares revoltos.
But his journey to attend the 5th General Conference of Bishops of Latin America, which counts 34 nations where over 550 million people live, may not take place by the great statue of Christ, taking place as it does by a river, the Rio Paribá, where a popular Marian shrine by the name of Aparecida is located. But no doubt this meeting will be in the shadow of Christ, who called upon mankind, all mankind, to love thy neighbour as thyself. Let's listen to Pope Benedict's exact words in that letter to Mark Chelam's 50th birthday back in May 2005.
Chelam will seek to strengthen the spirit of communion, of reciprocal charity, and of the Church's inner life. This unity in charity must shine forth in this very exercise of the apostolate among pastors, between them and consecrated persons in the religious life, and between the very persons who live their inner consecration of the charism proper to their community, all of which makes present the model of our Saviour, who came into the world not to be served, but to serve.
Wishing the Pope a very fruitful journey to Brazil during the next few days, that brings me up to time. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Bye for now. Be sure to check out our website. The address is www.vaticanradio.org.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.